Today we want to thank God for America. We're in the Memorial Day weekend, and so we should thank God for the nation we have. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." We have a nation that we live in that was founded upon the Word of God, where Christ was exalted in public, in government, in our schools, and elsewhere. However, we see God being taken out of our schools, in our government, and in public places. Yet we can still come and worship together in our church. We can tell others about the Lord and witness, and we should thank God for that privilege, and we should thank God for the privilege of living in America. However, there are many countries around the world that do not enjoy the freedoms and the blessings that we have here in America. Some years back, I was told that over 200 million Christians around the world face persecution. And I have a feeling that it's even more than that yet now. Many had to meet in secret or behind closed doors. And in comparing their groups or churches to ours, in our churches, we use lights and heat, but they use no heat and a few candles, I am told. We use instruments like a piano, an organ, and so forth, but they use nothing. We use hymnals, chorus books, song sheets, and overheads, and so forth, but they would sing from memory. We read the Bible for scripture reading, but they would quote scripture from memory. However, we probably come short of the zeal and the earnestness and the prayer power and the boldness that these persecuted Christians exhibit in their groups where they meet. Many of those meet together in secret and what is called underground churches. Now, what are some of the things they might emphasize in their messages that the leaders of their group would emphasize? Well, one, they would emphasize comfort. They would emphasize comfort, probably. In John chapter 14, verse 16, we read, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we read, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now, probably they are thankful, and I'm sure they are thankful for the comfort that God gives in their persecuted situation. And probably they also encourage the group in that group that are meeting to comfort one another in their times of trial and persecution. So probably the leaders and one another in that group emphasize comfort. But I'm sure they also emphasize strength, the need of strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," or in your weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, for will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Those that lead these groups, I'm sure, encourage their people to stand true to Jesus Christ and not to be discouraged or not to get angry or not to get bitter at those that persecute them and not to retaliate or seek revenge, but rather to seek to please the Lord and be gentle and meek and have a sweet spirit. And they probably also encourage them not to turn back away from the Lord, back to their old ways. I'm sure they remind them that God gives grace and strength that is sufficient for their every need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, "There hath no temptation nor trial taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation or trial also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So I am sure that they emphasize the need that God gives strength in their time of problems and trials. And then thirdly, I am sure that they probably emphasize boldness. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, we read, "And for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel." They do not want to remain silent amidst their persecution, but they want to continue to proclaim the gospel to the lost. There is a man I read about, and I'm not sure I pronounce this right, but David D. Vintin, who had been in prison in Peru. But after he was released, he was asked what he planned to do now that he was not in prison any longer. And he said this, "I plan to dedicate myself as much as I can to the Lord's work." In their services, in the services of the persecuted believers, I'm sure they encourage their people to pray for boldness to stand true to Christ and to faithfully witness. They probably pray together for boldness as the early church did. And we read back in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So I'm sure those speakers or teachers in those groups of Christians emphasize the importance of having God's boldness. And then lastly, I'm sure that they emphasize the return of Christ. Excuse me, that Christ is coming back and could be soon. These believers know that Christ could come again at any time, and I'm sure they look forward to his return. They very possibly preach on the return of Christ and encourage their people to pray as John did in Revelation 22:20, where he said, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's a song that we sing in our churches, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. And I wouldn't doubt that some of these groups of persecuted believers also sing it. It says, God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. And then the chorus, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Now, we can be so thankful that we live in America and we don't face this kind of persecution. But the things that they probably emphasize in their times when they meet secretly or underground are also the kind of things that we should be emphasizing in our own churches here in America. Again, we need to thank God for the country that we live in. And even though it is starting to drift away from how it was founded, we need to still do all that we can to live for God and to make him known. And we need to, again, thank God for the country that we live in. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for America. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of living here. Lord, I pray that we would faithfully live for you and serve you. And Lord, I thank you for the wonderful promise that Jesus is coming again. And one day we're going to be taken up to heaven And we're not only going to see the Lord Jesus, which is the main thing that we look forward to, but we'll see other believers, we'll see loved ones there, and we'll see many of these persecuted Christians from other countries that love you and are living for you and are serving you. Lord, help us to be thankful for our country and day by day to faithfully live for you and serve you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.